Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today and for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today again about the fruits of the Spirit. You remember the first of the fruits of the Spirit. We were talking about it yesterday. It's a four-letter word, L-O-V-E, love. Every day, it's my prayer that these little radio talks will help you dear men and women, you dear boys and girls, to see that Jesus Christ can make a very real difference in your life, in your home life, school, office, neighborhood, town. Do you know what is the most outstanding characteristic of a Christian? Jesus gives us the answer. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And we're not talking about a sentiment. We're not talking about anything soupy. We're talking about a hard, clear course of action. The first fruit of the presence of Christ in a person's life, the first sign that we're on his side and he on ours, at least a tiny bud of this fruit called love, will be breaking the hard and rigid outline of our lives. If there isn't any love, there isn't any God. What is the measure of your obedience? Insofar as we are willing to cooperate with God in his will for our lives and for the rest of the world, in that far will the fruits of the Spirit begin to be produced in us. Now, don't be discouraged. Fruit takes a long time to mature, doesn't it? The tree has to grow. The blossoms have to come out, first the buds and then the blossoms. The blossoms have to wither and die, and then the fruit begins to grow and enlarge and become sweet and juice-filled. But that takes a while. It takes years for the fruits of the Spirit to be fully manifested in a man or a woman. But the beginnings can be seen in even the smallest child when he's taught what love means. Love means the willingness to give half of his cookie to his sister, the willingness to give up the toy that he wants to play with now and let somebody else play with it. Not that he begins to understand the metaphysical or the abstract term love, but love is a very practical thing, isn't it? It's the visible signs that make us think that person must be a holy person, because I see love personified in him or her. Love breaking the hard and rigid outline of our lives. You can think of somebody who's hard to love, can't you? By ourselves, we haven't got what it takes to love people who treat us meanly, treat us with indifference, or even nastily. People with whom we have nothing in common. We don't even like them. How are we supposed to love them? Well, the love of God covers everybody. I gave you a list yesterday of the people you might think about. How about that tax man who's ruining your family financially, it seems? What about that rude clerk in the store or the post office? That neighbor who trespassed on your property by cutting down your tree? The disappointing minister, the stubborn parent, the driver who cut you off instead of giving him an obscene hand signal when he cuts you off on the highway? How about praying for him? How about saying, the peace of the Lord be with you, buddy? God loves those people. And the test of our love for God will be our willingness to learn to love the people that are hard to love. The love of God covers everybody. He's so loved that he gave himself. And he's asking you and me to give ourselves, to put ourselves out. Some of you have an old relative living with you. That old relative may be very difficult to get along with. And for you who are the old relative living with a child or an in-law, do you find them very difficult to get along with? Of course, there are conflicts between generations, conflicts in homes. There is an answer. The answer is love. It's not natural. It's not a sentiment. It doesn't spring out of our natural tendencies, our personalities, our temperaments. It is a work of the Spirit of God. That's why we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. It is a fruit that only God can produce in us. I hope I'm making that clear. We're talking about supernatural love, not feelings. Some think of the spiritual life or the prayer life as a ladder ascending to great heights. Evelyn Underhill thinks of it as focusing down, coming downstairs, here and now, in the situation where our own souls find themselves in daily circumstances. We must reach the level of truth which says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." That's what I want to do on these programs, to come right down where we live, to quit preaching and start meddling, in a manner of speaking. Coming right into your home, into your life, into your heart. I don't know what the need is in your home today. I'm so glad that the one for whom I'm working, the Lord himself, knows. He knows your situation. He says, "Fear not, I know." He saw what was happening to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, and he said to them, "I know. I know what you're going through. I know your sufferings." He's not ignoring you. We can talk and sing and write poetry about love, but when the reality penetrates and begins to transform our lives, it's not necessarily a very poetic thing. It's going to be quite inconvenient. Have you found that to be the case? It can be quite distasteful and quite inconvenient to love the people that God wants us to learn to love. And the great love chapter came to me at a time when I needed it very badly. My husband Lars and I had been married just a few months when something happened between us where he hurt me. For the life of me, I can't remember what it was, and I'm glad I can't remember. He said something or did something. And that night when I went to bed, I was feeling very upset and very angry with him. And the Bible, I know, tells me don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But there we were in bed. I, as far over on my side as I could get, I didn't want him to touch me. I wasn't going to touch him. And I was lying there on my back thinking, he has got to make an apology. And guess what I heard next? That's right, sound asleep. Hadn't the slightest idea that I was hurting, wasn't about to apologize. Well, what was my first impulse? You guessed it, give him a really sharp jab in the ribs and say, "Wake up, we are not going to sleep until we sort this thing out." And I knew his answer would be, "What thing? Sort what thing out?" I said, "Lord, what shall I do?" And the Lord told me exactly what to do. He told me to get out of that bed, go into the other room, and open my Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what I read. "If I speak with the eloquence of men and of angels, but have no love, I become no more than blaring brass or crashing cymbal. If I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my hand not only all human knowledge but the very secrets of God, and if I also have absolute faith which can move mountains, but have no love, I amount to nothing at all." If I dispose of all that I possess, yes, even if I give my body to be burned but have no love, I achieve precisely nothing. Now, what is this love? Paul explains, this love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. And I got just about this far when I thought, maybe I better put my name, Elizabeth, in place of the word love. And so I read, this Elizabeth is slow to lose patience. She looks for a way of being constructive. I wasn't doing that. She is not possessive. I was. She is not anxious to impress, nor does she cherish inflated ideas of her own importance. Oh, yes, she does. Elizabeth has good manners. No, she hasn't. She does not pursue selfish advantage. Yes, she does. She is not touchy. Yes, she is. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, she is glad with all good men when truth prevails. Elizabeth knows no limit to her endurance, no end to her trust, no fading of her hope. She can outlast anything. Well, of course, I realized that was a screaming farce. It was a travesty. God wants to make you and me not spectacular saints, but useful, humble representatives of His, lovers of His world, His souls, His men and women. The world is starved for love. Every man is for himself. Should be the opposite for us Christians. My life for yours. Every one of us for others.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.